Back together again, eh?
Let's play.
I'm going in. Cover me, Porkins.
I'm right with you, Red 3.
But I don't want to be a pirate! Oh!
Marvelous. Absolutely marvelous.
It's more for time!
Will you shut up?
I'm a fucking artist. I'm sensitive as shit. We'll do it live.
This is a big one. I'm coming to join you, honey.
I said give me a hell yeah!
Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Do you like a jelly baby?
No! No!
You're listening to The Obscure Gentleman. I'm your host, Aaron A. Alvarez, and, you know, who are you?
I'm Alex Mitchell.
That's it?
That's it.
Today we're on this season premiere, mm-hmm. season Woo-hoo! Two. We're joined by, you may have heard him on episode...
It feels 7 and 8.
Benjamin Kim.
Oh, thank you.
You want to say anything to our audience?
Glad to be back. I'll tell you that, right. Especially for the season premiere, pretty cool.
Before we get to it, Patreon, we have a Patreon, mm-hmm. patreon.com/theobscuregentleman. If you want to help support the podcast and the webcomic, please
do so.
Yeah, become a patron. Also, the podcast itself, feel free to subscribe if you're on iTunes and maybe write a review. We enjoy those. Yeah, so yeah, this is the opener. This is the new.
It's not that different, though.
No, it's not, but I mean, it's different in terms of, like, now we're not bullshitting about this movie's coming out. Let's look at how angry everyone is about it.
Yeah.
Which tended to be like.
Hold on for a second. Our friendship since kindergarten was built on bullshitting, so I don't know what the hell you're trying to say right now.
No. It started getting a little just like, oh, look at all these people who are full of shit. They think this movie's bad. And news. It was like news. When the real fun stuff is like talking about the things we grew up with or the things from the past. Which is why I guess you could call this a pop cultural nostalgia podcast.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so it has to do with the things you grew up with, things we grew up with. Everything from all types of media. So you have movies, music. Television, music, commercials, toys, games, all that stuff. So yeah. We've dropped the whole other segment things.
Yeah. It's focused on
we've
one.
We've entered the pop culture junkyard that was one segment, and
we're there.
We're staying.
We're stuck.
We're staying in the pop culture junkyard. Yeah. So
there's nothing wrong with junkyards, by the way.
No,
for people that. Work at junkyards. So
no, we're not. We're
or,
not
or junkyard dogs.
Exactly. Yeah. JYD, rest in peace. Wait, is he dead?
Yes.
Okay. Just to clarify.
I love that anytime you mention any wrestler, you have to ask that question. Wait a minute.
Is he?
Are they alive?
Now was he?
Kamala just has no feet.
Yeah.
Because there's like you
this
have.
This earth's dead.
What is it? Alcohol abusers. You have drug users that are non-steroidal, and then you have steroid users.
Yeah.
It's pretty much like in terms of death. Like wrestlers, it's those three classifications.
And it's always something to do with their heart. Like, so yeah. One of those things will cause their death via their heart. That's usually how it is.
Yeah. Sometimes. Imagine if you went through all three. Wow. Like, you first started using steroids to get big into wrestling.
Yeah.
And then because of wrestling, you used drugs. And because of all the drugs, you started drinking and, you know, triple
You know,
threat.
That could have been Scott Hall at one point.
Luckily, he's alive.
And he's doing better than ever because of Diamond Dallas Page. So
exactly. That DDP yoga?
We need sponsors.
But, since we're talking about wrestling right now, that leads to today's topic.
Yeah.
And it's a great way to start the season, I guess, to start our brand new show.
Mm-hmm.
It's a man very near and dear to our hearts who's responsible for a lot of childhood memories.
A lot of them.
Truth be told, yeah.
Literally all of them when you think about it.
You can consider him almost a bad guy of our childhood, but a bad guy we sort of loved.
It's like that really close uncle, I guess you can...
Yeah, calling him an uncle kind of does make sense.
Well, now Grandpa's getting old.
Yeah, he is getting pretty old. But anyway, so today we will be talking about Vince McMahon.
Won't find their place in line.
the story of Vince McMahon. You're a historian here, so.
Vincent Kennedy McMahon Jr. is a third-generation wrestling promoter, chairman and CEO of WWE, and patriarch of the McMahon wrestling family. He's also the man who revolutionized professional wrestling forever by taking the World Wrestling Federation and turning it from a regional territory into a mainstream national promotion in the mid-80s, where it enjoyed massive success and eventually turned into the multi-billion dollar empire we now know it as. He has also, for decades, portrayed the evil boss character in charge of the promotion, known as Mr. McMahon. In 1997, he became known as the big bad of wrestling.
Yeah.
The subtle shift in his performance deserves to be studied at Juilliard. Vince McMahon wore bow ties and bugged his eyes out a lot. Mr. McMahon, on the other hand, led a family of supervillains, feuded with God, mocked Jim Ross's health condition, and dressed up as a judge so that he could throw Eric Bischoff in a garbage truck.
This is all true?
Yes. Very
true. I think what's kind of interesting, though, is like if you look at clips of Vince McMahon through the years, when you look at the really old ones, it's so strange how like straight-laced he is.
Oh, yeah.
Just holding that mic and being very cordial.
Oh, yeah. But you know what the thing is? He was naturally good on the stick, as they would say in the business.
Yeah.
He was just the natural-born talker, but he wanted to be a... Supposedly, this is how the story goes. He wanted to be a wrestler, but his dad said no, because his dad was a promoter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's how the story goes.
So
and
his dad kind of knew, like...
Yeah, so yeah. It's like that old school mentality. If you're in the business, you don't want your kids to be in it.
Yeah.
Because they know all the ins and outs and all that stuff. Yeah, yeah. All the dirty stuff.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, that is kind of interesting. Yeah, he wanted to be a wrestler and... but eventually he kind of did become one.
Yeah. Kind of. It's weird. You don't ever see, like the CEO of, like, you know, Walmart or, you know, like, Google going out there, you know, essentially playing a character.
It's like an NFL commissioner. Like,
oh, yeah.
Actually.
Like,
I think, okay, on that note, I think Tom Brady against Roger Goodell, that's major pay-per-view buys. I'm just saying.
I think it's cool that he's willing to do that. Like, there's no other company, I think, that really lets you kind of do that.
Yeah.
You're having like this billionaire going out there getting, you know, wrecked by
rednecks. You also have to think, like, for a dude who had like this who has this really big personality,
yeah,
playing that straight-laced figure he used to play, like, way back in the day, must have been like, it must have kind of sucked. Like, you know, all these wrestlers are acting larger than life, and you're just saying, oh, well, that's
a maneuver. Yeah.
Yeah. And all this time he wanted to, like, be in the ring. That's the weird part, you know?
Yeah.
Now, imagine if, like, Hulk Hogan at his prime facing, like, a 40-year-old McMahon. I think that would have been a lot better than the WrestleMania 20 match, just saying.
See, and to me, it makes me understand more of the whole, the Macho Man thing, why Macho Man didn't like being an announcer.
Yeah.
It's because it's like, you want to wrestle.
Yeah.
So, Vince McMahon, I guess, yeah.
Vince grew up in a trailer park in North Carolina with his mother and a series of stepfathers. So this is why, you know, you always hear about, like, you know, he never really was, like, super close with his, like, actual father. But
yeah,
he was kind of more like a... It was more of like a trying-to-get-to-know-you relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. One was an alcoholic who regularly beat Vince with, and this is quoting from a Playboy interview, anything he could get his hands on. Vince would later lament in a Playboy interview that he thought it was unfortunate that he died before I could kill him.
Oh, shit.
I would have enjoyed that, he says.
Damn.
In the same article, he talked about the fact that he was sexually abused by his mother.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Vince...
Oh, yeah, that makes some storylines seem even weirder now.
Yeah, Vince is
actually, if anything, it makes sense.
Yeah. Vince is an odd egg. He's the kind of guy who, like I've read that he can be very seclusive at times, but
yeah,
he tries to be as friendly as he can be, but I kind of understand why he's not.
Yeah.
Why a lot of people do find him a bit off-putting. There's a lot of messed up shit that went on in this.
Well, life. I mean, if you think, yeah, you're abused as a child, both physically and sexually.
Yeah.
Which is weird to say about Vince McMahon. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Shit.
But then I read in another interview, but I didn't write this down, but I did read up that,
yeah,
It turns out that, like, whenever he would hang out with, like, one of the stepfathers, that essentially, like, the stepfather had, like, other girlfriends and shit, and they would, like, basically, like, play with his
What the? Why? Like, I don't understand. Like, see,
at one point, Vince essentially, like, kind of grows close to one of the girls. And then he says they got naked in the forest, and that was essentially the first time he ever had intercourse. Wow. But he mentions in the interview, and I don't know why he said this, that he wanted to put crushed leaves.
Oh my! Okay, that's weird. Ugh. That is just so strange. All right.
That's about it. I got for Vince's like long term like story. He's you know been. Well, so, he's been in the business for years and years.
So he overcame all this, obviously.
Yeah, you know.
He essentially created
He essentially also, after the whole drug thing in the 90s, that's when he essentially had to change up his whole perspective on things.
Kind of,
yeah.
Perspective. If anything, he should change his perspective on sneezing. Okay, because
We'll get into that.
See, wrestling really wouldn't be what it is today without him. And I know there are a lot of, like, there's certain wrestling fans who like to say, that's not true. It would still be pretty good and popular. It's like...
It would be popular, like, in regions. I don't think on the level that it's...
It would be more of a regional thing still.
Yeah.
It would likely be, like, how... It'd be, like, any alternative sport.
Yeah.
You know? But Vince turned it into this giant empire. Before WWF,
you have NWA.
Yeah, it had that. Yeah,
NWA was the ruler of professional wrestling even before WWF.
Yeah, the history of it is, to me at least, kind of murky because it seems like different regions are like forming together and like
merging.
That was the basis of NWA, National Wrestling Alliance, because their whole thing was, because at the time they had lack of technology compared to right now.
Yeah,
and so they had this whole national thing. And then from there, they based it off into regions. And so, for example, you'd have the company's champion, like Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Perfect example. Ric Flair would hold the company's main title, but every region had its own top title.
Yeah.
So he'd go into every region, and he'd put these guys over. That's why he's so legendary.
Yeah.
He's got his quotes, he's got his robes and his talent, but it's that he actually put people over. That's why he's so popular.
He was the face of wrestling before, like...
Oh, yeah, before Hulkamania and all that, like, this was the guy.
Yeah.
And, like, he learned from Dusty Rhodes and all those guys before him. And so, yeah, he'd go into all these regions and, like, promote that champion by putting them over. But that's how NWA, circling back, was. It's like these little regions that... It's like, what do you call it? It's like a big association.
Yeah.
This entity that looked over the whole nation. But then from there, they just, like, gave, like, promoters, here you go, here's your little territory.
And then how did they form into WCW and WWF? How did that
happen? Well, here's the thing. WWF and WCW were essentially little regions that were kind of associated with NWA.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But these people being money-hungry and business-driven and, in a sense, forward-thinking, they decided to get away from NWA, try to make their own money and be big. So a lot of these other companies, minus WWF, that went separately, they kind of had the same vision as Vince McMahon, but Vince, he had the resources.
So everyone was trying to grow at this time outside of NWA.
But on the other side of that spectrum, you still had these old school people saying, no, this is bad for business, blah, blah, blah. Why can't we just keep it the same? Basically, for lack of a better term, they're ignorant. They're like, why can't we just keep it like the way it is?
Whereas Vince viewed it more as like, wrestling should be like an NFL or an NBA.
He wanted to take it to that level.
Yeah.
Because I know that wrestling was televised, but it was only like, because my parents don't know much about like Ric Flair. They knew about Dusty Rhodes.
I know.
They knew about Freddie Blassie and all that. Because apparently they had like a California, like,
well, yeah, like NWA, my parents, same thing. It's like Gorgeous George, Classic Freddie Blassie.
Yep.
But yeah, Ric Flair was more of like a, that was like an East Coast South thing.
Oh yeah. He was in the Carolinas, and then like all these guys, the old timers, the legends that we talk about, they come from different territories. Like Roddy Piper, for example, he ruled here in California.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dusty Rhodes.
See, my parents know Roddy Piper.
See, exactly. Yeah. So people who grew up here in California, like around the 50s and the 60s, and had a TV, they probably saw Roddy Piper a hell of a lot more than they did Ric Flair, who was in the Carolinas.
Yeah, because I mean, prior to Vince doing his thing, like, it seems like wrestling was one of those things where every state or every region, they did have their wrestlers.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And but when Vince came along, it turned it into like, this is everyone's wrestlers.
Yeah, like imagine if I think his vision along the lines was, imagine if you took this guy that was popular in a territory,
I mean, that was
and
Hogan.
You made him popular into in a national sense. And yeah, again, yeah, that's
and
where Hogan
it's
comes
kind of
in.
A crazy idea, and it's a cool idea too, because it's like, at one point, yeah, you had these like main attractions in different regions,
yeah,
and when Vince just said, like, you know, let's get them all together under one roof, all of a sudden now you have a lineup of superstars, complete superstars.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes the product more exciting.
Yeah.
And it's not like just like, because
you could also do better cross promotion with All Japan and all that, like New Japan.
But when you look at the whole original region model, it's like you have one superstar and a bunch of just other dudes who no one remembers. But what Vince did was like, well, no, everyone should be remembered.
Yeah, I want all of these popular guys together and see what I can do in my territory. Is going to be the entire country.
He does talk about how he wanted wrestling to be bigger than it.
Oh yeah, no, and the story I read was that his dad probably would have never sold him the company if he knew what he was going to do.
Yeah, what I understand, his dad wasn't like excited about that idea of like making wrestling
He even told all the guys, like, hey, my son's coming for you, and they didn't listen.
He was that type of vision. He was definitely the minority.
Yeah,
compared to everyone else, was like, no, let's just keep doing the same old thing, and we'll look what happened.
Yeah, it's like that old school mentality where like you listen to like a lot of like really really old wrestlers from back in the day. And it's almost like they prefer that model of like, we're just gonna go through like four different states and just wrestle around and around and around.
There. Oh yeah,
and it's like, well,
if it works for them, I mean, you know, but
yeah,
obviously he's making way more money. But
Vince
is a bit of a character though.
Oh, so okay, so you have some stories for us.
I have obviously. Some weird stories and things about Vince.
Yeah, like, I mean, I've heard a lot, but also. A lot of them are just strange.
Yeah.
So
this is from Daniel Bryan. According to an interview with him, Vince McMahon drinks a bottle of ketchup a day.
That's bullshit.
Hopefully that's hyperbole.
Hopefully. You know what? You do hear stories about really rich people who do weird shit.
Yeah.
Okay. In WWE Unscripted, Jim Ross claims that McMahon tops a steak with ketchup, and it's a pet peeve of his to have this combination question.
That's so gross.
Wow.
You know what? But it's like, and it's kind of fucked up. He did grow up in the trailer park.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of weird, like carny shit. Like, weird, like, trailer.
Carny shit.
That's I mean, because what I mean by that is, like, because they used to call, like, these promoters, like, carnies.
Yeah.
But no, like, Vince, I've heard a lot of people just say, like, he's like that kind of nouveau riche kind of thing where he's like, he's essentially new money.
He's still a little white trash.
Yeah.
But I mean, ketchup on a steak just sounds so wrong.
Yeah. He purchased a yacht, and he named it Sexy Bitch.
Wow. Sexy Bitch.
Oh, wow.
Let's get on that Sexy Bitch over there.
I mean,
it Sexy Bitch.
Like, you gotta imagine, like, you know, you're having one of those yacht races, and, you know, you have, like, all these nice, elegant names of these old, you know, rich white people.
Farnsworth.
Yeah. And then here comes Sexy Bitch just coming
in. Is there a whole new meaning to saying that you're on the poop deck of the Sexy Bitch?
Oh, God.
I'm just picturing with all these other millionaires.
Oh, yeah,
like,
I know.
Who are classy.
Yeah, and he's like, hey, like, guys.
It's like the Victoria. And then it's like, I got my sexy bitch here. I'm going to put ketchup all over this filet mignon.
Oh.
Well, so many innuendos there.
Okay, here we go. Known to be woefully out of touch with popular culture, this is describing Vince McMahon.
Okay.
Metallica wanted to perform Saint Anger, the theme for the 2003 SummerSlam event, live at the pay-per-view. But Vince shot down the idea, not knowing how big the band was.
Wow.
This is the same dude who's had, like, ICP perform.
Vince is a notorious control freak and hates things out of his control. Thus, Vince hates sneezing. When someone sneezes, he yells at them and tells them to control themselves. On the rare occasion Vince sneezes, he angrily mutters to himself and loses focus for a few minutes.
Okay, I've heard about this. And do you think that's true?
Yeah.
The sneezing
thing? Why would this come out if it wasn't
so bizarre. Yeah.
Look, either it's really, like, seriously true, or it's just that one time where he sneezed and, like, a couple employees, like, saw him mutter. Whether it was about sneezing or not, don't know. But I think it was maybe an embarrassing moment for him. So I think it's one of the two. Like, for me to, I think it's still plausible because, you know, going back to the whole rich people are very quirky. So it could be one of his really bad quirks that he hates sneezing.
Or it's a deep-seated thing from childhood.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, maybe his his stepdad used to beat him up when he was sneezed.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, it could be something like that.
It is a weird thing to like be very particular.
Like 20
about.
Belt whips for every sneeze.
Jeez.
Like I'm just picturing like the 1-2-3 kid sneezing in his presence.
little X-Pac just kind of.
And him just like berating him and yelling at him.
It's funnier when he's 1-2-3 kid because he's got no facial hair. He looks like a kid.
He was happy back then.
He was. Okay, so Stephanie McMahon once hired a 90210 writer to be essentially on the team.
Yeah.
Okay. When Vince was giving a meeting, the man was noted to be nodding at everything Vince was saying.
Okay.
Stephanie brought him out and told him, "You need to stop that right now." Vince hates nodding because he does not like yes men around him. This is considered ironic, considered he's usually surrounded by yes men. Yeah.
So you have to be a yes man around Vince,
but not look like.
But
you're,
you have to hide that you're a yes man.
This is why John Laurinaitis was very, very good at his job.
And they've also joked this is why Vince doesn't like Daniel Bryan.
I think Daniel Bryan is a nodder. Just saying,
a nodder.
I mean,
I'm talking about the.
Oh yeah.
Vince once raced former WWE writer Court Bauer on an open highway. Vince boxed in Court so that Court was heading straight for a road construction area. Court had to slam on the brakes to avoid an accident. Vince sped off, having won the race by almost killing a dude.
I'm just picturing his laugh. And like that maniacal laugh he does.
Oh yeah, and the way you ever seen Vince McMahon give the middle finger? I feel like that's what he would have done. Yeah.
Okay, so the rules for Vince's private jet, and people, writers, staff and Triple H, sometimes they have other wrestlers that are kind of higher up the chain. They can
John Cena.
Yeah, I think Rollins was on it recently. Mm-hmm. But basically, some of the rules are you can't sleep unless Vince is sleeping. That's one of the rules here.
Okay, and you only sleep for 2 hours a day, so...
Okay, so music is usually played on the plane.
Okay.
I believe AC/DC, Metallica, and Kid Rock are common songs that they
one
usually
play on.
One of
these things is not like the other.
Yeah. I believe Limp Bizkit is also...
What is going on? Wow. Is Vince McMahon stuck in the 2000s? What's happening? Or the late 90s? The early
2000s? Yeah, I think so.
I mean,
Limp Bizkit.
I remember when WrestleMania 30 was happening about, they were going to have Kid Rock play live. That didn't come to pass, but I remember reading up.
It seems like Vince McMahon loves nu metal and like rap rock.
Yeah.
Which was weird because he's like an older dude.
Yeah, but I mean...
Because when you do think of like more modern like wrestling, there's a lot of like hip-hop rock, like nu metal type sounds.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird. What happened to the funky beats of the 80s and 90s? Bring those back.
He ignored them, I guess.
They went away with the steroid trial.
Exactly. Oh, so speaking of the WWE Vince's jet, so Jericho had to basically go with him. And, it was basically because they're flying in for WrestleMania, Vince gets the bottles of Jack, and they said, we're going to finish these bottles, do them straight. Everyone's plastered. They're all fucking wasted. Jericho, I think, said that after this and another event where he drank way too much, he said he was done with Jack Daniels forever. This essentially ruined him on Jack Daniels. Kofi Kingston was among some of the people on there.
Okay. How did Kofi get in that?
Party? I have no idea. I think it was just like, hey, you want to just ride?
I think
with
he us? Helped Vince with his bags.
Is Kofi Kingston actually like Jamaican?
No,
or...
he's from Ghana.
Yeah. Yeah, he's African.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, he's
so they could.
Well, no, he's actually he grew up here. He's just from.
Oh, yeah, there you
so
go.
They could have given him an African gimmick.
Yeah.
But instead, they're like, nah, Jamaican.
Yeah. Like, dang.
Okay.
There you
why
go.
Not?
So basically, Vince makes a comment to Kofi saying, well, you're never going to get over. And what that means is that you're never going to be popular.
Fuck, he straight up told him that?
Yeah. So Kofi kind of was like defeated and kind of just walked off. You know, the plane had already landed, you know.
Yeah.
And Jericho runs down to the tarmac and says, look, this is going to seem weird, but you have to fight Vince.
Wait, what?
So,
like, literally?
Yeah, because, and he said this wasn't like a prank. This wasn't like him trying to fuck up his career. He said, if you fight Vince, he'll respect you. Right now, he basically challenged you. If you walk away from this, he's going to basically, your career's essentially over in his eyes. So Kofi kind of like hesitates, but he walks back up into the jet, and he's like, and he asks, like, do you have a problem with me, man? He's like, I don't know. Like, do you want to do something about it? And he's like, I don't know. Should I do something about it? And he's like, I don't know. Do you want to do it? And then it goes back and forth and until, like, Vince essentially, like lowballs him and, like, just kicks him in the shins. And then Kofi has to wrestle him down, and they're essentially, like having, like, a shoot wrestling
and
match.
And Vince is a buff big dude.
Yeah, he is. And essentially, like, after, like, 12 seconds of them wrestling, Vince gets up, starts laughing. He says, that's how you do it. And then apparently that saved
his. He's got the New Day now, Kofi. Yeah, but I'm assuming that the likes of Shelton Benjamin, R-Truth did not do this.
No, probably not.
Oh my gosh, Shelton Benjamin. I remember that name in a while.
Hey, the gold standard, my friend.
Oh, and here's another thing about Shelton. So, Michael Tarver, he's a new wrestler, okay. Black wrestler coming in, you know, kind of just going to his first WWE meeting. Yeah. You know, Vince is addressing all the wrestlers. And Michael Tarver, you know, he doesn't really know when to ask questions, so he just decides, fuck it, I'll ask a question. And Vince looks at him and goes, that's an excellent question, Shelton. And then everyone starts laughing because he just called Michael Tarver Shelton Benjamin.
Oh my god.
Is it ironic that neither gentleman are with the company now?
It's coincidental. Who knows?
I mean, you don't want to correct him.
Oh no, you can't. How could you?
I think he played off as Shelton being his middle name.
Okay. Here we go. Vince went bowling with someone. It might have been an NBC executive. The guy had done something Vince didn't like. Obviously, since they were bowling, they were wearing bowling shoes. Vince sneaked off, got the guy's real shoes from behind the counter, tossed the shoes into the garbage, and left. The guy had no idea where his shoes were and had to go home wearing the gross bowling shoes. Vince contacted him later and said, that's what you get, pal. The guy wrote a book and said Vince was the biggest jerk he'd ever met in real life.
See, again, this is another one of those, like, trailer park moments.
Yeah.
Where it's like, that's something someone, like, from trip would totally do, like a... Like
well,
a,
yeah, especially when you live your life wearing sandals.
God.
No, I mean, just like, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
Throwing away sandals.
Maybe it was a cold winter's day and Vince didn't want to ruin his shoes.
All right.
Here's another fucked up man. Someone.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Vince, as a prank, had real police arrest Jonathan Coachman for running a betting pool at work. Coach said when the cop car finally turned around and brought him back to WWE headquarters, he openly wept in relief and rage.
Huh. Was everyone like, okay, because Coach, everyone was a dick to him, like, scripted.
Yeah.
But were they also a dick to him, like outside of
the... I think this is just Vince being a dick.
Yeah, because I heard that Coach is well-liked by
Yeah. Oh,
boys.
So he is?
Yeah.
Okay, so that was just Vince being an asshole.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, there we go. Vince invited Mark Henry to a workout session. Bear in mind that Mark Henry's claim as world's strongest man is based on the fact that he's the only man to have competed on top-level Olympic lifting, powerlifting, and strongman competitions. Vince tried to out-rep him on every exercise. Henry went along with it because he's naturally competitive and even admitted that Vince tested him a little bit. Henry decided to quit, however. The next day, Vince phoned Mark in great pain and admitted that he had made a terrible mistake.
I mean, yeah, Mark Henry is a beast.
Oh yeah,
like
he's the silverback.
Was that what they called him?
Yeah, the silverback. That was his gimmick.
Oh, here we go. Vince was hesitant to hire Gail Kim due to her being Asian. Jim Ross convinced him not only because of her in-ring talent, but the fact that many men are attracted to Asian women and that there are lots of Asian porn sites on the internet as well. This apparently shocked the hell out of Vince, who had no idea Asian porn sites existed, exclaiming, "No way! Get out of here!"
You know what? There's this weird childlike wonder to Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
Where it seems like he doesn't understand how the world works.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why, you know, the trio of Becky Lynch, Charlotte, and Paige had to change their name from a submission sorority. Yeah.
They were called Submission Sorority for like a little bit. And that's when one of the girls in there even kind of noted, like, you know, that's a porn like site, you know that, right?
And there was a bunch of like tweets and stuff, and Vince is like, "Holy shit!" And I think this was again one of those porn exists questioning.
That's what I love sometimes about like when certain gimmicks he approves of. Sometimes it's like, man, this is so like out of touch with like pop culture right now, or like culture in general.
Well, the other thing I had written on here, but I decided to skip it, but I'll bring it up now, was that Paul Burchill was essentially running a gimmick that where he was doing like a Jack Sparrow thing.
Yeah.
Vince is going to hate you right now.
I didn't sneeze though. So he would have been okay with me.
Yeah. So Paul Burchill's doing the Jack Sparrow gimmick, and Vince decides to shut it down, and it was like, and he's like, Deadman Chess is about to come out. Like, this is a good time.
Heard that gimmick was kind of popular with people.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, people liked it. And I guess he didn't see any value behind
it. You've always told me about these random times when, like, someone new becomes really popular and the gimmick is going over really well, and then Vince is like,
sometimes he'll just shut it down.
I don't get it.
Yeah, next thing you know, he changes Paul Burchill into this weird creeper who had a in-story sister, Katie Lee, and they're apparently like incestual.
Oh my god.
So he went from a pirate to being like a weirdo.
I want, I need incest in this stuff.
Apparently Vince pushes a lot of weird incest angles.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The WWE was putting together a horror movie starring King called See No Evil.
Oh god.
That's such a bad movie.
Yeah. Vince said he had this great idea for the film and proceeded to pitch it to the writers and the director. His idea was that there would be a moment in the movie where Kane's pants would rip and his 4-foot-long would flop out and hit the floor. The scene never made it into the movie.
Well, I mean, unless you want like an NC-17 or...
I'll tell you what, though. That's some evil you don't want to see.
So these horror movies that the WWE always makes, which are always terrible, is Vince like...
That Mirror one doesn't count, right? Because they only released it. They only distributed it.
Yeah,
right?
They've been starting to distribute movies.
Oculus.
But they tend to still be bad.
Hey, okay, The Marine, that is an Oscar-worthy film, just saying.
I saw that when I was a kid, and I thought it was okay. The only thing I hate about that movie is when T-1000 says, "This guy's like the Terminator."
Oh, yeah. That was so forced.
Robert Patrick's in that?
Yeah, he's the bad guy.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Don't want to go 12 rounds with that.
Goddamn dog it.
Around 2007 to 2010, when they were doing weekly Raw guest hosts, Vince McMahon wanted Ray Combs to guest host one week, despite the fact that he had stopped hosting Family Feud in 1994 and had killed himself in 1996.
Well, you know, because you can't get Steve Harvey. He's going to fuck up every line.
She got Louis Anderson.
Your WWE champion is Trish Stratus. Wait, what?
Welcome to Monday Night Raw. That's, I don't know.
Okay. Was that supposed to be Louis Anderson?
I'm not good with Louis.
I don't know. If you threw in some ghetto slang, that could have been Steve Harvey. I'm just saying.
Oh, well. Okay.
In Undisputed, which is a book by Chris Jericho, Jericho talks about the time he and Triple H were going to Vince for help for their Hell in the Cell match.
Yeah.
They wanted to know how they could get to the top of the cell, and Vince simply told them to shoot webbing out of their wrists and swing up there. Vince had just seen Spider-Man.
He is like a child. Like, he's like an actual little kid. That's really bizarre.
And he has real life action figures, you know, doing his scenes.
Essentially.
They're the wrestlers.
And these are his big play sets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can actually picture him in his office
playing with figures.
With wrestling toys.
Yeah.
Be like, okay, then I'll have him do this. And then I'll do this. Yeah. Like I can easily picture that happening.
Last one. So this is around the time when, you know, the drug scandal was basically coming about, and, you know, early 90s, I believe.
Yeah. Like 92-ish.
So
Hogan wore a do-rag to court for some reason. And that was like,
everyone, you know, everything's going down. Vince decides, you know, we got to change everything. You know, you guys are, you know, doing all your steroids. You know, you're doing all your drinking.
I'm doing steroids.
Yeah, well. Vince decides, you know, one last hurrah. Everyone's out, you know, at a strip club getting fucking wasted. Vince decides to go in with them. You know, Sergeant Slaughter's designated driver friend.
This is so awesome.
So Vince is getting, he's pounding down like JD Scotch and everything. It just, everyone is just wasted. Bret Hart is watching Vince get up on, you know, just getting up to other wrestlers and saying to Legion of Doom that he wants them to hit their finisher on him.
One of them's dead. Also.
Yeah, yes. One of them's dead. So Legion of Doom decides, all right, fuck it.
And this is a strip club.
Yeah. Okay. So they're on the strip pole essentially, and they just jump down and hit Vince very lightly because Vince is very intoxicated.
Okay.
So Jim the Anvil Neidhart says the Hart Foundation wouldn't have taken him easy essentially, and Vince says like, well, all right, come on, and he wants Bret Hart and Jim the Anvil Neidhart to hit their finisher on him too.
The heart attack.
Yes. So they decide to get up and. Like, just clotheslines him really hard, right?
Okay.
And then Vince is laughing because, you know, he's having such a good time. Essentially.
Just a good old boy.
Yeah. On their procession, you know, back to their big hotel room, they're going to another party, which is, you know, hosted by Ric Flair.
Woo! Okay, this must be
good. Now, this is a good after party to go to.
So, it turns out Flair is not at the hotel where he was staying at his big penthouse suite because he's out, you know, fucking whoever.
Yeah.
So, but it's like they want the key, and you know, normally they can't give you the key. But and Vince says, drunk. It's like, I'm Vince McMahon, damn it, give me the key. So he takes the key, they're all up there, you know, they're all drunk as shit, you know, doing
in
whatever.
In Flair's suite,
drinking all of his liquor.
Nice.
All of his liquor. And then, you know, Vince is like wrestling with everyone. He's actually like starting to wrestle with people.
Okay.
And then it eventually evolves into like them pissing on Flair's bed. Them all pissing on Flair's bed.
Oh, shit.
What the fuck?
And then he says to Neidhart, you know, he could out wrestle him anytime. And then Jimmy Avila Neidhart says, hey, you ever seen Die Hard? You know, at the end of the movie where that guy falls out? And Jim the Anvil Neidhart was also very drunk, and Vince was convinced that he would have probably thrown him out, so he backed down from this.
So he said to him and threw you at the window.
Essentially.
Holy shit.
Bret Hart said it was the greatest night of his life.
Wow. Vince McMahon is an animal.
The part I left out from that story is someone did challenge him to wrestling, and he beat Vince, and then Vince fired him like the next
I mean, if there was a parrot involved, I think we all know it was Coco Beware. Just saying.
See,
Coco
it's Vince's real life compared to his character is just, it's weirder than his character.
Yeah.
Because his character is pretty damn goofy.
Yeah.
His character died in a limousine at one point.
And then came back.
Yeah. Well, they had to do that because something happened.
Chris Benoit happened.
Chris Benoit happened.
That's what happened. Apparently, from what I understand, it was going to be a big storyline, too. The death of Vince McMahon and like,
oh yeah,
Chris Benoit had to
even shareholders of WWE stock were concerned. Yeah,
when it comes to Vince McMahon, what is the thing that pops in your head, like wrestling moment, like that pops in your head? Because I know what pops in my head immediately when I think of Vince McMahon of a wrestling moment, and that's the iconic it was me.
Oh,
it was me, Austin.
It was me all along, Austin.
When like that moment, I
the hood reveal.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, that was a jaw dropper.
I fooled them all.
Yeah, that was a jaw dropper.
Does JR say son of a bitch?
Ah, son of a bitch.
But I don't. What about you?
This one's a bit harder for me, actually.
Do you just picture him walking funny? Because we have not talked about that.
The strut is one of the greatest things in the world.
Well, he walks as if he's got a cucumber stuck up his ass.
What also helps, that man does not wear suits that fit him.
Yeah.
He wears baggy suits for some reason.
Yeah, he does.
And like, so when he's doing his walk, his like suit, like,
yeah.
It's like, what's his name from Talking Heads? It like it moves with him, so it's like.
Well, until recently, not the one where he special guest refereed the Roman Reigns Sheamus match? It was the one where he tried to intervene and he got knocked out by Roman Reigns. He was actually wearing a pretty well fit. So, I think that was Italian. I'm just saying.
Is he finally done with his gigantic suits?
Perhaps he's going to his grandpa's.
They still look silly though.
They do.
Yeah, his walk will always be amazing. But again, I think another big thing for Vince was always the the Stone Cold feud was.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Well, it's the thing.
Especially us growing up, that was like, because I know you didn't watch wrestling at the time. No. But for us, like, we were like knee deep in that whole thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like you said, like, if you think of Vince McMahon, we'll pop something in your head. Like, there's just so many things. We're talking about, like, the beer bath, for example, or when he, like, was involved with the hood reveal, too, you
Undertaker
know?
Crucified Stephanie. And,
oh, yeah. I mean, that whole shebang. Or the one I vividly remember was when it was the cage match. It was St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
both climbing on top because they somehow got out of the cage, but it's just only for pinfall yeah. and submissions only. So they're climbing at the top, and Stone Cold, like, he takes Vince McMahon's head, he bashes his head on the cage, and somehow, some way, Vince, like, bounces off the cage from that hit and lands on the table. That's the one, still to this day, one of the most toughest bumps I've ever seen.
Yeah. I mean, the dude, and I think the dude's actually not a bad wrestler.
He's not. Shane is better.
No. But I'm
well,
saying,
when you're young and nimble.
For an old dude who like who didn't grow up wrestling, he's actually pretty good. I mean, because like, you take someone who like spends their whole life just being corporate, and then all of a sudden like,
again, this is what I was saying earlier, say you don't see like the other executives going out there and doing this. I think that's it's weird how wrestling's one of the few forms of entertainment that you can have that happen.
The one point to argue against that, though, is when he appeared in the Royal Rumble and tore both of his quads.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, I mean, Vince is certainly something else. There is that Carnival Barker like sort of thing to him where he's fucking insane, and he's that boss who will wrestle.
Yeah.
He'll wrestle you. But so moving on to comments, I guess, to sort of start wrapping things up. The internet does think a lot of things about Vince McMahon. A lot of things about Vince McMahon. So here's what I've gathered. So Gadot says,
I once did the Vince McMahon power walk down the street and ended up impregnating 5 women at the same time.
Okay. I mean, that's what the power walk will do for you.
As long as neither of the women is named Katie Vick.
Let's not get into that.
Yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, that's a whole different story for
a story for another time.
Yep.
So Mei Fong says, I don't get the comments about Cena, even though I'm not a Cena fat, but I still think he really earns it because he's been through a lot to hell to back in the Attitude Era. By the way, I watch WWF until now. Vince will win.
What is going on? I think that person had a stroke.
John Cena's from the Attitude Era, apparently.
Apparently.
And Vince will win.
Vince will win.
So SJMJ91 says, I love Vince's theme because it practically sums up the nature of his character and his position in the WWE. Wrestlers really have no chance in hell against him.
That's actually kind of true. I always thought of that's how ironic his theme song.
Is it true? Like, because I was reading, but did his theme song not originate for him? It was part.
It was a pay per view.
Okay, so that what it was.
Yeah,
and then he decided I'm keeping it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, how many times? There's one certain theme song I forgot, but it's from like the mid '90s to like the mid late 2000s.
Yeah.
There was a particular theme song that was rehashed like 3 different times.
Really?
Yeah, I forgot which wrestlers are associated with it, but like over the course of that period, that 15 some odd year period, it's like, whoa.
I've noticed a lot of like when you look at wrestlers' theme songs, there's like 10 different versions of the same damn song.
Yeah.
Because it's like they remix them constantly.
Oh, yeah, and then obviously the one was Kurt Angle's theme was used by the Patriot. Yeah.
Too bad I wasn't used by Mr. America, who is not Hulk Hogan.
Totally
not Hulk Hogan.
Because there are many people on this country who have a bleach blonde handlebar mustache.
And hot dog skin.
I got into an argument with a kid in middle school, and he was adamant that it wasn't Hulk Hogan.
Oh my god!
Like he was.
Well, he was right.
He was such a mark that he was like, it's not him. They even said it.
And I'm like, okay, that must mean it's true.
I wish I knew the word mark back then so I could call him a mark.
Yeah.
Okay. So Josh says Vince can get a win over Cena. Kevin beated Cena cleanly. No chance.
Why are all these comments about...
Dude, people don't shut the fuck up about John Cena.
I'm not even going to get into an argument about Cena. I just want to know
Kevin?
Why...
Kevin?
Owens.
Oh, yeah. Kevin beated Cena cleanly. No chance.
By the way, Kevin Owens, as Travis and Nick of Plain Zero fame mentioned, he's one of the guys from Mr. Belvedere. So.
Okay, so Nadim says... I am not lame. I am a bitch who is looking to make an argument. What are you? Yeah, that's right, Vince. This was on Vince's Facebook, the Facebook page.
Wow.
People just, like...
Do they think he reads it?
I think they do.
Wow.
Okay, so... KJHG says, man, Vince needs to return and come back with his old hair like he had before the WrestleMania's 23. And be a kick-ass boss heel like he used to be, and say to Laurinaitis,
you're fired.
And have some ring segment with the likes of Triple HHH. the Rock, the remasked Kane, Undertaker's, and Austin's God.
What?
What? I didn't know there was more than one Undertaker. Well, there was a fake Undertaker.
Or Austin's God.
It would be sweet even more if they changed the Titantrons after 2011 ends, and I hope 2016 will a new era of WWE, man. It will be epic.
It will be epic.
I guess.
I don't know why they bring up 2011. Like,
what the fuck?
I don't know why they say Austin's God.
Austin's God.
And Undertaker's.
Triple
HHH. HHH. I love that.
Hunter Hearst, horrible here. I don't know.
It's a lot of H's.
Okay, so Justin says, what the fuck? I hear John Cena being cheated in a whisper at the beginning of the song. So Vince knew John Cena was coming 6 years before he got there? That's nuts. This is Vince's theme song, and the guy can hear John Cena being cheated in a whisper in the background.
Okay. I don't.
All right. I don't know. Like, some of these things are legitimately insane.
John Cena fans are crazy.
Yeah.
Or John Cena haters, too.
Yeah.
Some of them. Not all of them.
Martin says, hopefully Vince will one day be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Can that happen?
Yeah.
That just seems kind of like self-congratulatory.
What I'm reading is that he'll probably be inducted after he dies.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus.
I mean, because it's too self-congratulatory.
But he's immortal, though.
I thank myself for this.
For building this empire that I did.
Mark says,
I see you are working for the devil. I saw what Mark Henry was wearing on his tights, and he went to be a road worries. Shame on you. God help your soul.
And soul spelled S-O-L-E.
S-O-L-E. Wow.
So this again was aimed at Vince McMahon's Facebook. So this guy is telling Vince McMahon that he knows that he worships the devil.
Okay.
Because Mark Henry was wearing on his tights and the want to be a road worries.
Road worries.
Road worries.
So Isaac says, all you follow the law. Are you the best man in De Cranberry Granddaddy? Are you Grande Grande Fauto? Since that day so long, ask your son-in-law. Shoot only lost seat to pull eight chicks on the people's face. Triple H. Wow. Triple H.
Wow.
I want to lost cheat sheet on 8 the Williams. Miss Hitman.
What the fuck is going on? What's going on?
Wow.
Something about Triple H and they missed the Hitman. They missed Hitman Hart.
Okay.
I think it was about the screw job. So that's the only thing I can muster from that.
So, Akash says, Sir, please get back to Goldberg. It's really helped to improve your ratings. Please, WWE need. Please, Vince McMahon, sir, please get back in Bill Goldberg. I said you with big request, and everybody fan of Bill and WWE Universe need only Bill in WWE. And that's also going to be good for WWE business.
I could tell.
Yeah.
Is
Goldberg wrestling more?
No. I've been, as you know, when I was doing Wrestling Corner,
yeah,
I had to look up a lot of these comments. The one unifying thing I noticed was that the Indian fans love Goldberg.
Really?
They all love Goldberg.
He's like huge in India?
He's almost as big as John Cena.
It's Goldberg.
Oh, yeah.
I was never a fan of Goldberg because I always looked at him as like, that's just a fake Stone Cold. I'm like, it's a bald guy it's like, I don't need you.
He was the idea of being ruthless and being kick ass, but in a powerhouse way, that was Goldberg.
Yeah.
You know, minus the beer, that was pretty much like WCW's Stone Cold.
Which is weird considering, like, they had the NWO, which was kind of like they were all Stone Colds.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. It's very weird.
Oh, God.
Okay, here's the next one. Michael says, McMahon is the loser. McMahon is game over. By the way, loser is spelled looser. McMahon is the looser. McMahon is game over.
He's game over.
He's game over when he's looser. Depends who he's being compared to.
Rajan says.
Ron John?
Hey, chairman. If you will cheat in match of Roman, I will tear you.
Wow.
you became referee of those match. So work as honestly or I will kick you.
Wow.
The threats are real.
I know, man. I have a feeling it's Dude Love. This guy will give McMahon the sweet shin music. I'm just saying.
Sweet shin music.
Yes.
Okay, so Javid says, I hate you. You are stupid. I hate your family.
Wow.
These are posted on his Facebook.
I love the Facebook post because it's everyone is marking out so hard on
it. Oh, yeah.
And no one's aware that it's not really, like...
So Steven says, I love dog. I have bipolar. Would you like to donate my dog and me, Vince?
What?
What?
Yeah.
That just seems sad.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Someone give that poor kid some lithium.
So Gavin says... I want to be a WWE superstar. Please call me. This is my number. And he leaves his phone number.
Of course.
Wow.
That's the last one. But there are tons more like that where people are leaving their personal information on Facebook.
Oh, God.
Please hire me, Vince.
Jesus.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah, it's pretty...
That's rough.
Yeah. And then there's a lot that just talk about John Cena, complaining about John Cena. Vince, when are you going to kill John Cena?
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. But yeah, Vince McMahon is
he's a character. I mean...
He's one of many characters in wrestling,
yeah.
I think. Because, I mean, as crazy as Vince is, I think he gets crazier.
Yeah.
I think he's the kind of guy that knows who he is and just wants everyone to accept him.
But who might... And I think it needs a bit... He maybe should step... down or just,
I'm not even gonna argue with that.
I mean, there comes a time when it's like, you know,
you're getting old and crazy, and
you're not as good as you once were, yeah. And you don't make
kind of out of touch with everything.
Yeah,
yeah.
I guess a good comparison is like Al Davis what he was doing when he was like 130 however old he was before he died.
I feel this is the second time we've mentioned Al Davis on this podcast.
Because he's a good example of that, where it's like...
You lose touch of everything because you think, you know, at that current time, you can use your old ways that got you successful, but times change.
I made everything great, so why should I ever leave?
Jesus.
Save us.
And, I mean, as great as Vince was, and his legacy could never be destroyed.
Oh, no.
I mean, would he...
Well, it can if all this horrible shit... Yeah. That's how you can kill your legacies if you end it on
Or if you do something really horrible.
Like a certain...
If you pull a Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
Or a Hulk Hogan. It's a but, yeah, Vince...
There you go.
He crafted a lot of stories that, for our childhood, were huge. I mean, you think about wrestling in the 80s, the 90s, and, I mean... Today, I really don't watch it, so I don't really know what's going on, but... Yeah, it was huge for me. It was playground politics, were all about wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
You know, everyone had their favorites. Wrestling was huge for our childhood, and so, like, this... I was talking about Vince McMahon, perfect, because it's like...
Yeah.
He created our childhoods in terms of wrestling, in terms of not only our childhood, but, like, going back... two generations
ago. Yeah.
But I think, yeah, maybe it is time for him to just walk into the sunset.
It's not, it's like, literally going back to it. Walk.
The burning.
With a bottle of ketchup.
And some, you know, and a sexy bitch in his hand.
He'll ride his boat, the sexy bitch.
He'll ride his sexy bitch.
Off into the sunset.
Into the sun. with a big bottle of ketchup.
On his meat. Lathered all over.
Oh, man. But, yeah, I mean... Well, I mean, what else is there to say about Vince? I mean,
he doesn't know what a burrito is.
What do you... What?
He there was a storyline where they said, hey, maybe we could spike Big Show's burrito and he can get knocked out.
Oh, because it's storyline.
And Vince is like, what are you guys talking about?
No, wait, is this real?
No one's going to know what a burrito is.
Oh, okay, so it's real.
And the ironic thing was that every day his office assistant would bring him a steak wrap with rice.
So burrito.
Just